Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer Podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. And joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's show, we've got a United States Women's National Team preview versus New Zealand. The United States going to close out their two-game series. Quick reminder before we get into everything, subscribe to us on YouTube and give our videos a thumbs up, please. YouTube.com/attackingthird. You can get all sorts of exclusive USWNT content, previews, recaps, interviews, all right here with us on A3. Let's talk about it. Good morning, good morning, good morning to those of you joining us in the live. Lisa, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Sandra. We are like back on our stuff this week with essentially an episode a day at this rate. This is where we are right now, an episode a day. We're not even in NWSL season. The World Cup, like, actual preparation hasn't even started yet. We're just like easing ourselves back into it. Psych. 5 days a week, I get to hang out with you, chat with you, interview some great people and athletes, which we've got more coming down the pike for everyone. So stay tuned, like, follow, do all those things so you get alerts because we're dropping interviews left, right, and center here. It's a good morning. I tried to sleep in a little bit today, but because of the late kickoff tonight for the United States Women's National Team, of course that didn't happen. I'm like up and at 'em early as heck this morning, but it's good to be jumping on here with you and chatting U.S. soccer. I mean, I'm all about it. What about you? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm with you. I had the same thought. I was like, okay, it's Friday. So I'm going to link up with Lisa again. And I was thinking it through because, you know, we've had some cool interviews that have dropped during the week as well. Shout out to Alyssa Thompson, spent some time with us on A3. And I was like, gosh, I was like, we really have an episode nearly every day this week. And I was just like kind of laughing about it this morning, getting ready to hop on. And I was like, we really said 2023, New Year's, same A3. Like, it's just, that's just who we are and how we roll. It's good prep. It's good prep for this year. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's just the soccer's going to be constant and everywhere all the time. So you and I are just, you know, getting back to how we're used to doing things here. And it won't catch us off guard when we really do have to link up constantly throughout the week. Yeah. But
I'm practicing my constant intake of coffee right now. So I'm just constantly caffeinated. Yeah. It's great, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I'm still in the water phase of my morning, so still drinking all my water. But, you know, it's good prep for us. And of course, we're here to talk. We're here to preview the United States women's national team. So it's good prep for them as well, because this is the second friendly for them against New Zealand. They kicked off their 2023 with their annual January camp, but this time in the Southern Hemisphere, across the globe, and capping it off with a pair of friendlies. And, you know, we watched that first game. We previewed that first game. We recapped that first game. And it was a big, ultimately a big win, 4-0 win, but there was a bit of a tale of two halves. We got to talk about and break down each 45 minutes. We chatted a little bit about how perhaps it was, you know, very, very pre-season-y, bit of rust mm-hmm. for the team, going yeah. into this match against New Zealand. No goals in that first half, all of them coming in the second half. And the substitutions making big, big impacts for this team in that game that ultimately kind of just on paper looked like it was a blowout, right? But it's going to be interesting to see for this game to close things out what type of adjustments there might be in this second game, because there's going to be, because of the quick turnaround and the player rotation is you're just going to assume that that's going to happen. But they're also going to be without Lindsey Horan. And let's maybe chat about that a little bit. So because of the January camp and sort of the unique experience that this is for the team, this isn't your typical traditional international like FIFA window. So prior to this camp and prior to the matches, an arrangement between the United States Women's National Team and Olympique Lyon, Lindsey Horan's French club team, she will be heading back to France to continue the season with Lyon. So she is going to be unavailable for this upcoming game. And we got to start with that. First reactions from you, Lisa, yeah. and what do you think this is going to mean for this second game?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it previously about how this is not a FIFA window, and that's why New Zealand's squad looks much different than what we will see in 2023 Women's World Cup. It's a lot younger of a crew because a lot of their players couldn't get out of their club contracts. And I think that for Lyon, Lindsey Horan is an incredible part of their midfield and part of their team that they didn't want to lose. But you look at the importance that she also brings to the United States Women's National Team and head coach Vlach Wenonofsky understanding that she's a crucial part to this U.S. roster. So having that prior agreement before this trip with the club where it's kind of like both sides bending a little bit, right? So, Olympique Lyon saying like, okay, you get her for one game. You get her for the preseason camp. You get her for one game, and then we get her back before we have our match against Montpellier. And I think that it's a pretty even balance because Horan then gets to train with the U.S. and she gets to get one game under her belt. But I think it poses some interesting questions and maybe some dilemmas for Vlach Wenonofsky heading into this second match with the U.S. against the Football Ferns, because Lindsey Horan is a player that saw significant minutes, right? She basically played the entire game in that first match against New Zealand. So maybe that was also a reason, right? Because this was predetermined that she would be leaving after that first match, that first friendly, going back to France. So it's predetermined that, hey, she's going to play the full 90 in this first game, and then we'll adjust moving forward. But I wasn't too surprised that this happened. I was a little surprised how we found out, right? I feel like they could have announced this when the roster was named, similar to how they said when Crystal Dunn was first called back in. Yeah, Crystal Dunn is going to be here, but she's not going to be competing at all. Like, hey, yes, we are calling Lindsey Horan in, but only for half the time. Then she will return to play with OL. I think that was a little interesting how they dropped the news, but I mean, I'm not too surprised about it. What about you? What did you think when you saw it?
Yeah, wasn't too surprised. I mean, I'm actually when we saw that she wasn't going to be available, it made me want to like go back and think and sort of breeze through mm-hmm. maybe some of the releases that we were given. Like, was it something that we missed? You know, because I'm with you, because I'm trying to remember when the roster dropped, for example, initially, and getting to sit with Andonovsky during some of his media availabilities, like trying to recall some of that, if if he had dropped that nugget within some of the press conferences as well.
Right.
But couldn't really recall. But we were also talking about doing an episode every day this week, so lots of things are horrible.
Maybe it's on us. Maybe we do need to sleep in a little bit. Maybe like a mandatory afternoon nap today.
It's not them, it's us. I was like, geez, I'm like, is that an L for us? Like, did we drop the ball on that? But here we are. Now we're gonna talk about it. You know, I'm thinking about that first game though. And we had dropped our predictions. We're like who are we gonna see in the midfield? Like, what are we gonna see from this team? And at this point, at this phase of the journey to the World Cup for the United States, you and I were like, okay, similar pool of players within this 24-player roster for New Zealand, we're probably going to see a little bit of predictability. And we had said, like, you know what? We're probably going to see Horan, Lavelle, Sullivan. And while we did, we actually didn't see that till the second half. The starting lineup rolled out looking slightly different. The re-inclusion of a Mitch Purse in the front line, Taylor Cornea getting nabbed with the start, and we ended up seeing her slotted in lower into that defensive mid position. So now, sort of the things that we know, right? Lindsey Horan unavailable for this game. Taylor Cornea already having a 45 minutes in this role. The quick turnaround from, you know, Tuesday to Friday. What could this midfield look like going into this game?
I think that's a question that a lot of people have to look at. And right, hindsight, as I said, that's why Lindsey Horan played 90 minutes in that first match. And maybe that's why we did see Cornyak at the start, to see how that relationship could develop between those three, Horan, Lavelle, and Cornyak. And we were all a little surprised, just a tiny bit surprised to see Cornyak in that six dropped back much deeper. And I think that moving forward in the second match for the U.S. against New Zealand, obviously Horan will not be in that midfield. I think Rose Lavelle still gets the start in that position, but I think he's going to go with Andy Sullivan in the defensive six role. We saw her in the second half, the second 45 minutes for the U.S., and I think right now that's who he's like deciding between. Is it going to be Andy Sullivan? Is it going to be Cornyak? Is it going to be Sam Coffey? And I'm thinking that we'll get a start from Andy Sullivan in the defensive midfield role with a substitute in from Sam Coffey. I mean, I'm hoping players that didn't get time last game get time, right? I'm going to be really honest. And Sam Coffey is one of those players that I dubbed as soon as we saw this roster as a player I wanted to get significant minutes with this U.S. team and with this U.S. roster, because I think she is a player, just a rookie in the NWSL last year, that can really, really grow into this role. But you have to give her time and you have to give her minutes. And it starts now in this January camp. So I think that we'll see a 45-minute split. This is my hopes and my dreams right here. We'll get a start from Andy Sullivan in the sixth. 45 minutes, and then the last 45 will be closed out by Sam Coffey. I think that that's what we'll see in that position as well. But then between Lavelle in that eight, I would love to see a Sanchez also get the start. Christy Mewis didn't see time last match either. I think that we could see her get minutes in that midfield role as well. Cornyak, maybe he'll put her a little bit higher, but I'm going to go with I want to see Lavelle and Ashley Sanchez in there with Andy Sullivan.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think there don't leave any room for shock or surprise. I think at this point, you know, we talked about that previous starting 11. We were doing the recap about if we were surprised to sort of see it, and that was kind of the energy we left with. It's like at this point we're maybe not going to be too surprised at seeing some different looks for players in the starting 11, but still leave enough room to sort of chat about if it worked or if we thought we want to see them try something else. And like, even like having that starting 11 drop and seeing that it was Cornyak and no Sullivan, and the assumption was that she was going to slot into that role. It also, I mentioned how it was like, it was interesting. It was interesting for me. It was curious, but that it wasn't necessarily shocking in terms of like the concept of it all. It's like, hey, like who's our tallest player on this pitch and who could we put in this role? And it's Cornyak, right? So it also just reminded me a little bit of Sam Mewis, who at once upon a time was the tallest player on this team, and who she is and what she brought to this pitch as well. And I think, you know, as we move forward, you know, and watching this team as they navigate the remaining, 6 months leading up to the World Cup, that it perhaps isn't just that kind of, you know, this quote unquote glaring hole of this number six role for this team, but maybe it's a combined issue between the six, you know, and the eight. I think there's lots of people who are like, oh goodness, we relied so much on Ertz that it feels like, with Ertz's absence, it sort of feels like it's glaring. But I would also say that's not a counter argument, but that's also a similar argument for the absence of somebody like a Sam Mewis. And I think that from half to half, when you sort of like, when we're going back to Lindsey Horan and we're looking at how those two 45-minute shifts went in compared to the touches that she was getting in that first half versus that second half. It was like she was almost looking like an extra winger out there at times, like playing very wide, and then sort of seeing how things kind of adjusted themselves out for this second 45, and kind of seeing her touches to connect with players who would then link up with the assist, whether it was, you know, a Rodman or a Sanchez, you know, kind of providing that hockey assist, right, at times. And it just, I'm just kind of like, geez, like this, like Horan has become one of these integral players, one of these essential players for Andonovski in the starting 11s. And it's like with the players that are now missing, I think, in these roles, I think there's almost like a layer of worry, right? There's almost like a layer of worry or concern. It's like, is this another player? Is this a third midfielder that we're looking at? And is there concern about, you know, extra minutes on the legs or on the knee? You know, this is a player that unfortunately is very accomplished and has accomplished a lot of really cool things, both with club and country over the last year. I mean, Lindsey Horan's a Champions League title holder with Lyon, right? And then had clinched a spot in the World Cup with this team over. It was a very busy 2022 for her, but that also includes like navigating a lingering knee injury of her own. And it's like, you don't want to maybe like overburden a player like that in the buildup to World Cup. Like even like having like the reaction of this release and sort of saying, like, oh, okay, she's going back to Lyon. And at the same time, you're like, why? because there's a game against Montpellier tomorrow. Like, and that's like
she'll still be playing. It's not like she's getting rest. It's not like, hey, we want to conserve Horan, you know, save her body a little bit. No, she's still going to be playing a game. Country.
That's like a lot of travel. Like you're the opposite end of the globe. So
I think that shows how important Vlatko Andonovski believes Horan to be for this U.S. team in this midfield, to say, yeah, we're going to travel you to New Zealand for a week, right? Or 8 days, say, and then send you all the way back to France so then you can compete in a club game. I think it's a lot on a player's body for sure.
Yeah, I think it's look, I'm curious to see how Lyon will line up in their game now that she's heading on back. But there's still some more things to talk about here as we look ahead to this second match for the team to close things out. We're going to maybe chat about some things that we would like to see, specific players that we maybe want to get see time in this game coming up. We're going to break it all down, but first we're going to take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
If you're joining us live, you just saw an NFL ad, and I feel bad. Lisa, I can't believe I didn't ask you about the Eagles when we actually opened up.
Thank you, Sandra.
Hey, to be fair, I always ask how you're doing at the top of these episodes, but now that we're back from the break, listen, are you nervous about this weekend and your Eagles?
I'm not nervous, no, because Eagles got these Giants all day, every day. I mean, I'm pumped for this game. It's at home too for the Eagles. Nope, we got it. 7 o'clock too, or 8 o'clock on a Saturday. We got the Saturday night game. No, very confident. I'm excited about this. Pleased about it. No, all good vibes over here in Philadelphia. It's a good time to be an Eagles fan for me.
Look, I'm living through you, buddy. Sad Chicago Bears era over here. Let's hop back into games that are taking place over the weekend. United States going from Wellington to Auckland, going to face off against New Zealand to close out this two-game series. And this one is going to take place in Eden Park. Let's maybe talk about that a little bit. This team holding the January camp in New Zealand, obviously mirroring a little bit of this group stage for the team and all of the matches that are going to take place for their Group E playoff game, or excuse me, group games in the World Cup in 2023. Thought it was cool to kick things off in Wellington and close things out in Auckland. I don't know. I think when it comes to, you know, we'll probably get a little bit more reflective on this when we do the recap, but we had talked about in the earlier preview how maybe we're not going to get a ton out of these games in terms of, those lessons or those areas of growth. I think this team tries to look for when they go up against the various opposition, but that maybe a lot of this is going to be a huge chunk of this is going to, the importance is going to lie within the overall experiences that they get within New Zealand.
Yes, I think that's a really good point about it. It's more about this is the first time the U.S. has been in New Zealand and competed there, and where they're playing tonight, Friday night in the States, Saturday, if you're in New Zealand, is Eden Park, which is New Zealand's national stadium, and it's going to be the host site for the World Cup. The U.S. will play their first group stage game there. Their opening World Cup match will be at the stadium that they're playing at today. And also their third group stage match, I believe, which is against a team that is TBD at this point. But I think that experience is also something that's very interesting because this is where they're going to be staying, right? They're getting used to it and accommodated. Now, time of year is going to be different, but yeah, I think that's more about this trip than the actual competition against New Zealand is.
Yeah, you know, New Zealand, look, it was scoreless in that first half, in this first game, you know, lined up in a 4-4-2. We're pretty organized. But this is a team that's missing players within these two friendlies themselves, you know, not having like their own complete roster. Perhaps also looking at these two friendlies in like a similar light, where it's like, hey, we're just eager to host opposition, and this is the number one ranked team in the world, and we too are getting that experience of traveling within our country and as being hosts. But you know, the tone of that game quickly changed in that second half. You know, all those good ideas in the first 45 minutes for New Zealand, clogging things up, dipping things, like sort of snatching things out in terms of, the USA trying to maybe play centrally a little bit. They were really good at disrupting that, but they were not so good at perhaps, you know, absorbing that pressure or, creating those turnovers or disrupting those passes and then turning them around and trying to generate attack. Like, we didn't see that from New Zealand. I don't believe, you know, they too didn't record many shots in that first half. I don't memory serves correct, they didn't have an attempt on target coming out of that first half. So I'm a little curious what type of adjustments they might make. Are we going to see a similar formation? Are we going to see a similar attempt to try to frustrate, the U.S. team early in this first half? And I think maybe coming out of that first game, out of that first half specifically, I do wonder if we might see from Ananovsky and the coaching staff, the player rotations that we might see in this game, are they going to be perhaps some of those quote unquote game changers that we saw in the second half of this game? Like, instead of coming off of the bench, are we going to see a start for a Sanchez? Are we going to see a start from a Trinity Rodman? Is Lynn Williams going to be given an early half hour versus a later half hour? I'm curious about it.
Yeah, I think those are really good questions. I think we'll see a little bit of a shakeup. I'm hoping we will. We saw Swanson, Morgan, and Purse get the start in that first match or first friendly against New Zealand. But if we see that front three, Sandra, like, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm not. I'm really not, because he likes consistency. Without Sophia Smith there at this camp and in this roster, this is a lineup we're looking at, especially Swanson and Morgan. Maybe we could see a rotation for Purse in that role, but I'm going to argue that Purse played really well throughout that first half, the first 45 minutes that she was given. She was an impact player in the first half of that game, despite being 0-0. Imagine what she could do.
She was going 1v1.
Imagine what Purse can do when the rest of the team is playing how they did in the second half of that first game versus the first half. So I would argue to give Purse the start again in this point. The beauty of this roster is that there's so many exceptional attacking players that Vlach Malinovsky can start. Will he switch that up? I mean, I think I would like to see Rodman get a start. I still want to see Purse get another start. I think she deserves to get another start up there. And I don't think we'll see Lynn Williams the first 30. I think we'll still see her at the end of a game.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you. This is like a mutual A3 theme. Like, we're tossing out the same names here. We want to see these particular players get those extended minutes. And I think maybe for me, this is the I feel statement for Sandra. I don't want to speak for you on, but I'm also looking at these particular players and want them to get those extended minutes, because even though we both have said it's really about this two game series is really about, you know, mirroring the group stage of the World Cup and being in New Zealand and experiencing the travel within New Zealand, those things are like taking precedence, maybe perhaps what's coming out of the games. I still want to see those particular players get minutes, because this coaching staff still has to make an eventual decision about who is going to that World Cup. And maybe this window of time for players is one of those final opportunities to sort of leave those lasting impacts. I feel this is no sourcing or anything. I have to imagine that if you have players who are going up in these two friendlies and going up against a somewhat depleted New Zealand squad, and they're exiting these two friendlies and not having very good games, that you're maybe moving on to other areas in the player pool. Excellent reporting. Shout out to Meg Linehan, who's on the ground in New Zealand. We all keep watching her beautiful photos of the flora and the fauna out there. But, you know, also in availabilities when Ananovsky was asked about that player pool, that this coaching staff has narrowed that down already, that they've gone from about a pool of 40 players in consideration for the World Cup roster to down to 32. You know, so it's getting smaller and smaller, I think, as the World Cup gets closer and closer. So, yes, I think when we're looking at this next game coming up, I do want to see players like Essie Sanchez get extended minutes. Trinity Rodman, I think they have shown what they can do off of the bench. What do they look like when they build into a game? And perhaps in terms of this pool of players, like, maybe these are players that you're already looking in looking at or looking to as those game changers, right? Maybe this coaching, that's the next phase. This coaching staff is going to look at who are going to be their typical starters, but who are going to be those players that they're going to rely on to come into
the impact
game and impact that immediately.
I mean, we saw that immediate impact from Rodman. We saw that immediate impact from Sanchez. And to be honest, I don't know if we see them rotate out of that role, right? They've proven that they add value to this team. Ashley Sanchez, Trini Rodman, specifically, just talking about those two players, they add value to this team. I don't foresee them dropping off this roster, barring anything outside of their control. But do we see them shift out of that substitute role and play into that starter role? I'm not so sure about that. I think that they would have to be outplaying the people that are currently in their position by loads and loads. And I'm not sure if we're seeing that right now. And that's why maybe we will see a start from Rodman in the front line alongside a Swanson and a Purse. I think that would be my ideal front three at this point, because I think Rodman's impact in the game when she came in that first friendly was so important. And can she do that from the start? Or is she going to be that relief forward that comes in at the 60-minute mark and then can really shake things up and give opposition a brand new look? And that's kind of where I see Rodman's role right now, is being that substitute role that we see.
I mean, when she started, you know, getting into these camps, Andonovsky said, like, hey, this is a young player. It's a player that we want to integrate and work into this system slowly, gradually. They're not trying to throw too much at her too fast. I think with the appearance against New Zealand the other night, over the last year or so with the team, like I think it's 11 total caps, 11 appearances for this team.
Yeah.
So not only did she have a couple goals, but coming out of that game, now she's added 2 assists over 11 appearances, over 11 appearances with this team. So let's keep it moving. I say, let's keep it moving. Let's see a little more of it, you know? Let's maybe
give her the start and then sub her out at like 50 minutes, 60 minutes, right? That's a great way to kind of advance that a bit.
Well, let's take a look at maybe that starting 11 and that first game, and then maybe talk a little bit about what we would like to see in terms of an 11 for this game. They gave Alyssa Nair the start. Crystal Dunn, Becky Sabra, Naomi Girma, Emily Fox rounded out the defense in the back line. The middle third was Lindsay Horan, Korniak, Roosevelt, Swanson, Morgan, and Purse round out the front line. So when we're looking at that 4-3-3, when we're looking at that original 11, we already know that Horan is going to be unavailable in this game. And what do you think we might see for the starting 11 coming into this game?
What we might see or what I want to see?
Both. Hit me with both.
Okay. I like doing both of these. I like that we got Alyssa Nair for full 90 in that first friendly. I think we'll see AD French. I think the whole split time between just two goalkeepers during this window right here. And I think between AD French and Casey Murphy, I would like to give the toss up to AD French and have her win that goalkeeper battle for the number two. I don't foresee too much change across the back line. I'm going to be honest. I think we'll see Dunn on the left, Fox on the right to start things out. Maybe Cook and Girma get the start in the center back as opposed to Sauerbrunn, just because Sauerbrunn played a full 90 in the last match. But and I would like to see a Cook and Girma, kind of see how they play together. I think Girma is better than Cook and more consistent than Cook, but you still have to build up that role because you don't have Tierna Davidson back at this point. And I'm just not sure about that. I don't think we'll see Sonic get a start. I don't think Sophia Huerta will get the start. Mace will get the start. The rotation is something that we can talk about different, but I'm going to go with Dunn, Cook, Girma, Fox, not too much change up. I told you Andy Sullivan in the midfield with Rose Lavelle, and I want to see Ashley Sanchez. Not so sure about that, but that's what I want to see. Maybe we'll see a Christy Mewis get the start, a Taylor Korniak even higher, but definitely Rose Lavelle and Andy Sullivan in the midfield. And then up front, I want to see Swanson, Midge Purse, and Trinity Rodman. I do. And I want Rodman to get like 50, 60 minutes.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm in agreement in terms of the back for sure. What we might see. Are we going to see Emily Sonnet make her return in this game? We saw Lynn Williams get some minutes in that first game, coming off the bench, right, just like shortly after the hour mark, and walking away with a goal. So we also have Emily Sané, who's making her return to this team after missing extended periods of time in 2022. Will she get some minutes in this game? I feel like she could. Where that's going to be positionally, that's what I'm going to be looking at from this coaching staff. We saw, like you mentioned, we saw Becky Sauerbrunn get a full 90. We did see Cook come in for Guillermo. So maybe there's a little bit of player rotation there. Like, hey, like you'll get a full 90 out of these games, but it'll come in parts, you know, across the two games. So I wouldn't be surprised if we could Guillermo get another start. I also wouldn't be surprised if we see Crystal Dunn get another start. This is, again, we're talking about players making their return to this team, and the energy is going to shift a little bit about the players who are missing, because now they're returning, and now it's going to be about getting them reacclimated as quickly as possible with just 6 months out to the World Cup. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Crystal Dunn get another start. Maybe they want to give her another 45. Maybe they want to see if she'll, you know, if she can go the hour, who knows. But yeah, I definitely see Sauerbrunn perhaps getting a rest in this game. And I'm very, very curious about whether or not we will see Emily Sané in this match.
I don't think Sané will start.
I'm even more curious about if she comes into the game as a sub, what they're looking at. Is she going to come in at outside back? Are they going to slot her in the center back? We've typically seen her at outside back.
I don't
for this team.
I know.
You're like, you've got your hand on your
knees. I'm in distress right now thinking about Emily Sané, because
I'm sorry to bring it up and distress you, but we gotta talk about that.
We have to talk about it, because you're right. She traditionally plays an outside back role for her country, more of a center back role for a club. And I don't know. I think when you look at the center backs that the U.S. has right now, between Becky Sauerbrunn, Naomi Girma, Alana Cook, I don't see Emily Sané slotting into that role. I just don't. But who is she going to rotate in for on the outside, right? Because we saw Huerta get time, Fox start their last match, and then switch over to the left when Huerta came in for Dunn. And I think Fox is a little stronger on the left than she was on the right. Just with her ability to cut inside and use her right foot to cross the ball in, there seemed to be a bit of a comfort level when she is on the left, just a little bit more familiar. I mean, Sonnet's going to play on the outside. We know that.
Listen, I don't know if we'll see it, but the thought that's been swirling around in my head coming out of this first game against New Zealand is that this team is still looking for some answers in this middle third.
Mm-hmm.
And they can check that box off and say, okay, we tried the more attacking player, the taller player in this lower role. Are we going to continue to do that? Maybe, maybe not. So I do wonder if they are quote unquote looking for something different, because Van Adenowski was quoted on that HBO Max pregame show saying like, we want to try something different. I do wonder if a different thing they could try is some of their experienced center backs pushed higher. A lot of times we hear about, when we're talking about soccer, when we're analyzing it, that's another thing that's not uncommon in the global game.
Where you
make that shift for your center back and push them just a little bit higher into that six role. And I think she's too good and doing too many great things for this team.
Girma
has a center back, but Girma is not someone who is unfamiliar with that. And I am also curious if they've had conversations with Sonnet about pushing her higher as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if we would see it, but I'm just looking at things positionally. I'm just looking at players who you have in and who have played in those roles before. And what else is a different thing that you could try?
Exactly. I mean, Sandra, why aren't we the head coaches? What are we doing here on this podcast? We just got to.
I don't want that. Who wants that job?
It's a very natural shift and a natural progression to have a center back shift higher into that defensive midfield role completely. The roles are very similar. The objectives are very similar. You've just got a tighter space to work with. But we've seen the footwork of someone like Aguirre that could definitely do that and push higher. It's not going to happen. Lakhwaninovsky is not moving Naomi Girma out of the center back role. Yeah, you could put Sonnet there, but you're not going to do that. We're not going to see that happen. A player in Emily Sonnet that has been a defender and been in the back line so consistently with club and with country. And she's also coming back from injury. And he's going to put her in her quote unquote most familiar position to get her back into that role. This is not the time that you say, yeah, let's try Sonnet up higher. Why not Sam Coffey up higher? Hello, that's her role. That's what she plays for Portland.
I'm surprised when I asked you about like, who do you think we're going to see?
I don't think we're going to see Coffey get the start. I think we're going to see Coffey second 45, Sullivan okay. first 45, Coffey. But like, that's literally why you brought Sam Coffey in. Sam Coffey's not going to play higher. She's not going to play an 8 or a 10 in the midfield. She's not going to play in the back line. Sam Coffey is only in these camps to play the defensive mid role. You're not going to try someone like an Emily Sonnet there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. And like you mentioned, like the window's getting like a little bit, it's closing a little bit.
It's not quickly the time to switch up position.
Like, I don't know if you and I thought that we would ever see Taylor Cornier give 45 minutes in that position. And yet we had to talk about that. So never say never. I don't think we could come on the show and say never now with the buildup so close to the World Cup. But no, with you in terms of what we could see out of the back line. Listen, I want to see one of the other goalkeepers get a start in this game, whether it's Casey Murphy or Adrian French. I would love to actually see that start go to AD French. Again, we're getting closer to this World Cup. This is a player who was frequently in camps, kind of as your number two next to Alyssa Nayer, was the goalkeeper for this team during the Tokyo Olympics. Post-Tokyo Olympics, was not really called into camps anymore. We saw more games going to Casey Murphy. We saw the inclusion of Aubrey Kingsbury into these camps, and massive 2022 season by French with the current, and they just could no longer not call her into these camps. And now here she is. So I think when you're looking at that role specifically and looking for the experience, I think it's French who has it. So while I would like to see French get the start in this one, I don't know if we will, but different goalkeeper. I'd like to see some more minutes for Dunn, for her to build on this middle third. I really want to see Sam Coffey get in the mix in here. I mean, you said it best. She's literally here because of what she's done in the sixth role for the Thorns. Let's try to see it against a team like New Zealand. I also really want to see Chrissy Mewis get minutes in this game against a team like New Zealand. And I think there's a good opportunity to her to play her, back in a higher line, to see what she can do in the eight. This is one of those players that they've tried to slot in at that number six position at times. It almost feels like an endless number of players who have seen time in that role. So I'm curious if they are bringing a Sam Coffey and Sam Coffey gets these minutes, will Chrissy Mewis, be someone who can maybe slide into one of those, into those higher positions? I don't think you drop Lavelle from this lineup. I would anticipate that she starts as well. Maybe she gets subbed out at some point. And I would love to see the continuity in that front line include a Mallory Swanson. I thought she had a massive game against New Zealand. Want to see Purse again as well. I want to see her be able to build off of that. I was a little bit surprised that some of the players that they pulled out, she was among the four at that immediate halftime. I thought that maybe she was going to get a chance to continue to build into that game.
We also talked about maybe that was predetermined.
Yeah, yeah. There are certain things that they do want to try to get looks at coming out of these games. So I wouldn't mind seeing that once more. A Swanson Morgan Purse starting three. But how that develops over time in this game, I'm not too sure. Maybe we will. Maybe we will get Sanchez and Rodman tasked with a different assignment. Maybe they're gonna be told, hey, we want to see how you guys work in, you know, work yourselves over the course of extended minutes versus coming in and just going fast. So I'm curious about it. I think there's some cool things here to take a look at, because on the horizon after these two matches, it's the She Believes Cup, and it's a little bit different competition that they'll be going up against. So we'll see, Lisa. We'll see if we're correct. One player, let's close it out. One player that you will be upset about if they do not see time in this game. Who's that one player?
Sam Coffey.
No, all right. Let's do it.
People probably could have put money on that one, that they knew I was going to say that. But you don't call a player like this in and not give her time. This is why she's there. She's only got one role to play. Let's see it. Let's see what she can do, especially because we didn't see her in the first game. I want to see Sam Coffey. What about you? Who do you want to see?
I'm with you, buddy. Sam Coffey all the way. Let's go. Let's go.
Coffee LFG. Energy. Coffee energy.
All right. That's a wrap for today. Thank you all joining us this morning on Attacking Third. Here in our preview of tonight's game. You could catch this game tonight, Friday, January 20th. Again, it's another late kickoff, 10 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in on HBO Max or on Telemundo. Make sure you get out there. It's important. Of course, we're going to be watching because we're going to do the recap as well and see if we were correct or incorrect and talk about all of things in between the lines. Everybody have a great rest of your day. Download, follow, listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us too. Subscribe at youtube.com/attackingthird. Like, follow, leave us some comments, because we'd love to hear from you. For Sandra Vera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.